The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
...840-1360... ...97.5 WTAQ... ...News... ...Talk... ...Sports... I'm gone for a couple of days, and there's complete confusion on how this radio station runs as a business. Come back, and there's, well, this spot isn't there, and that... can't I be gone for a couple of days? Can... It shouldn't be that difficult. Anyway, good to be back. Of course, I was in Milwaukee for the convention, and we're going to talk a great deal about that in various ways. I had an exclusive interview with keynote speaker Mike Pence. Right, Wisconsin's Colin Roth was at his speech Saturday night. I was invited to cover the speech, but it just didn't work out schedule-wise. But I got Pence in advance of that. We played it during our coverage on Saturday. If you missed it, really very good, especially the things that he says about Governor Scott Walker. We are going to play that late in the show. Also, and I was on the floor for this, and we provided it to you Saturday, if you were listening, and we'll play some of it in a little bit. Congressman Tom Petri gave what is his farewell address to the state convention, as he, of course, not seeking re-election. And I want to parse his words a little bit. We'll also deal with a rumor that was rampant down there concerning the 6th congressional race. And I need to find time. That's already a lot of stuff in the show. But I need to find time for a piece, a long piece. I wouldn't even consider reading it on the air. It's very long. About another scientific certainty that is no longer certain. This is something Rush Limbaugh talked about a little bit last month. I want to spend a lot more time on it. This deals with what becomes conventional or consensus scientific wisdom. Very, very good, and we'll get to that. I definitely have to make time for that, but we have a lot of stuff. So let me dive in right here with a seemingly unimportant one. I'll bet a lot of you. It's front page top fold of Saturday's newspaper, and I learned of it Friday while I was checking email and such at the hotel in Milwaukee. The Green Bay Symphony Orchestra's upcoming season will be its last after more than 100 years. It was announced on Friday. A statement was released on its website. This is not uncommon around the country. Money and attendance for symphony orchestras, even, and this is no offense intended at all to the Green Bay one, but even more prestigious ones in bigger cities that are in some ways famous for their symphony orchestras. Here is what's happening. The old standby, the old cultural standbys, symphony orchestras, live theater, and so on, particularly those that rely on contributions, are really struggling. It has always been impressive that a market, a city, in the media we refer to them as markets, a market the size of Green Bay has been able to sustain one for as long as they have. The competition for the entertainment dollar, even among those who would attend symphony orchestra performances, has become so fierce that it's just very difficult for them to put on, as was stated in the story, a high-quality professional performance. It's just become a great challenge. I am a patron of the arts, and I think it is unfortunate when these things happen. On the other hand, I have not been a goer to their performances. If I wanted them to stick around, I should do that. But time and competing entertainment is very, very tough these days. But I think this is a pretty big loss. I think of a Chicago Tribune sports columnist, and I don't remember what Packer era this was in. This was either the early Favre era, before the Bears got used to the Packers consistently beating them, or it was a rare upset pre-Favre. I just don't remember which. But the Bears came up here and lost, and a sports writer in the Chicago Tribune said, for a city that doesn't even have a symphony orchestra. Well, we did. I think the way the traditional performing arts are suffering is unfortunate for our society. And quite frankly, it feeds on itself in a negative way. How many people listening right now have ever been to a performance of the Green Bay Symphony? I mean, what percent listening right now? But I think that the classical cultural offerings, as they disappear around the country because they just can't sustain it anymore, is unfortunate. It truly is. As I say, Green Bay has always been right on the edge of a market size that could sustain such an entity anyway. So I think it was very impressive. Something that was not impressive, and I'm thankful it was not impressive. Friday's protests against the Green Bay Police Department and an officer that many believe, after watching a video, is guilty of police brutality was a fizzle. About a dozen showed up. If I'm reading the paper story accurately, more than twice that number of counter-protesters or supporters of the Green Bay PD and the officer showed up. The two sides were a distance away, and there was never any conflict. I am heartened to see such a laughably small turnout. Here's what I'm hoping that indicates. I'm hoping that indicates that the things you're hearing, what I consider the extreme positions against police, anti-law enforcement, and other things that you're seeing online and hearing from people being interviewed on television newscasts, really is that small of a minority. That's what I'm really hoping. And that most people are allowing the process to continue, the investigation to continue, and wait for the findings. I may not agree with the Green Bay Police Department's findings or rationale and what they come up with into the investigation of Officer Wicklin and whether that was excessive force, if there's something that the man who was arrested did that we didn't see. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it when I hear their rationale for whatever action they take or don't take. I don't know. But what you have is one piece of evidence in that videotape, and some people have assumed that's the only evidence in play here. That's where this differs from a pre-jury judgment in public opinion. As I said, the video looks bad. But that may not be the whole story. And I was heartened to see such a dismal, small turnout for that. Apparently several of the people there claim that they were the victims of police brutality. Of course, we don't know that. All right, I want to share with you. Now, as you know, on Fridays, we talk with David Fiorazzo of Wisconsin Media Check. Wisconsin Media Check has posted something that I don't want to wait until Friday to tell you about. As you know, I'm guessing you know this. It was pretty widely reported. As you likely know, State Representative whack job loon Brett Halsey showed up at the hotel, the Hyatt, adjacent to the Wisconsin Center. Friday's events, because I was there, I know this, took place at the Hyatt. Then there's a walkway to the Wisconsin Center, and that's where the actual convention took place on Saturday. But the events and the recordings that we did, that was all at the Hyatt. Halsey was outside the Hyatt. He said he was going to give out white hoods, KKK hoods. He instead showed up in this silly Confederate outfit. And quite frankly, we just joked about it. It could, however, create problems for Mary Burke. More on that in a moment, perhaps, if I have time. But Wisconsin Media Check, wismediacheck.com, has this piece on a story that Channel 5 ran on Brett Halsey's protest. I want you to hear the story, and then I'm going to share some of their analysis.
Candidate for governor, Representative Brett Halsey, showed up like he promised at the Republican state convention on Friday, but he didn't do what he said he would. Just the night before, Halsey said he would pass out what white hoods similar to the KKK to expose the racist policies of the GOP. But he never even took them out of his car. Halsey says he received threats and condemnation from folks all across the country.
I think I've gotten people's attention. My goal in this whole thing, and I've been raising this since I was first elected to the assembly, was to highlight Governor Walker and the Republicans' racist agenda. I think I'm getting the word out today.
Halsey faces Mary Burke in the Democratic primary.
Okay, there are two things there. They mentioned more than two, but I want to point out two that I think are huge. If you were listening carefully at the beginning of that, they didn't identify Halsey as a Democrat. Now, in the report, it's on the screen where, you know, Halsey and then a D next to his name. Two, they allow him to refer to the racist policies of the Republican Party with no Republican response. Are you kidding me? This always pains me. I have friends at every TV station in the market. So I never and I've got good friends at Channel 5. I have good friends at all of them. I really do. But it pains me. How the hell can you just let that stand on its own? To let Halsey say that he's addressing the racist policies of the Republican Party with no risk. So that stands as fact. They don't even parse, oh, Halsey believes that, dot, dot, dot. They don't do any of that. I know some of you find this hard to believe, but that can be just journalistic laziness. But it just stands. They don't make it clear from the start he's a Democrat. They allow him to attack as racist the policies of the Republican Party without any Republican response. Now, here is something that they don't mention is Brett Halsey's a nut. Now, should they call him a nut? No. But there is a journalistic way to do it. I get to call him a nut. There is a journalistic way to do that. They could say this isn't the first time Brett Halsey has done what some consider, and then go into the litany of his bizarre behavior. Most people generally accept it's bizarre, bringing a knife cutter, a knife box cutter, to the state capitol, saying he was going to bring his musket. And just weird stuff. He also denies that he offered to join the Republican caucus. It appears that is true. Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, is standing by that. Halsey denies it. The guy's a loon. Now, again, I understand they can't call him a loon. But when someone who has a history of extreme erratic bizarre behavior does a stunt like this, don't you think there's a journalistic responsibility to include that? I do. Again, I understand that I'm biased. But put in context, and we're going to talk about this more later in the show, look how overblown throughout the state the coverage was of the secession resolution that any and everybody who follows politics knew didn't have a snowball's chance in hell of passing. Yet that's all you heard about the week before the convention, because they were trying to distract from the success story that is the Walker administration. Boy, they obsess on that. And don't present the fact that that also was a fringe group, actually one nut, who was really behind all of that. All couple behind all of that, but it was never going to go anywhere, and it wasn't mainstream. Now, I did criticize those in the party that took that fringe position. I understand the media is going to do that, but we're going to call them out on that. And then Halsey, at least with one TV station in Green Bay, accomplished his goal. He got to call the Republican Party racist with no refutation at all. It's extremely disappointing in my mind. All right, I'm going to talk more. In fact, I teased this as after 10. We're going to do the earlier, and we're really going to do this right after 9 o'clock. I'm going to tell you about what the big rumor was at the convention, what happened when I looked into it, and I want to share a couple of pieces of audio with you that I think are important. And we'll get to non-convention stuff. We have a lot of stuff to get to. 8:56.
Boys of summer live here. Milwaukee Brewer Baseball.